Good morning and happy Sabbath. This morning, I would like for you to use your imagination. And I would like for your imagination to take you to the hills around Bethlehem around 2,000 years ago. Let it take you back to the same fields where the boy David used to keep his flocks. It is there in the same fields that the shepherds are keeping watch by night. And through the silent hours, they talk together about the promised Savior. They know that he will come from Bethlehem. And in wonder, they discuss the meaning of Isaiah's word, "Therefore, let the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, have you ever wondered why he was called Emmanuel? It is because Emmanuel means God with us. God loves us and he wants us to love him. But the exercise of force is contrary to the principles of his government. Love cannot be commanded. It cannot be won by force or authority. Only by love can love be awakened. God is love, and he needed to show his character in contrast with the character of the enemy. And this was something only one being in all the universe could do. Only Jesus, who knew the height and the depth of the love of the Father, could make it known. And so God sent his son, Emmanuel, God with us. Little do the shepherds know that their prayers are soon to be answered. And the Messiah, the one called Emmanuel, is about to come. Veni, veni, Redemptor Omnium. O come, Emmanuel. Come soon.
Oceans here.
that time of the year, around Bethlehem, shepherds stayed in the fields all night with their flocks. And suddenly the angel Gabriel appeared to them, and the glory of God lit up the hills. And the shepherds were very frightened. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will thrill your heart. Tonight, in Bethlehem, the city of David, the promised Savior was born. As a sign, you will find him lying in a manger and wrapped in strips of cloth." And suddenly the whole sky was filled with angels who praised God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill to all men."
Go and tell it on the mountain. Go and tell it on the mountain.
Go.
It would have been an honor for earthly palaces to have sheltered God's son. But instead, he chose the humble surroundings. At Jesus' name, the highest angels bowed in adoration. Yet when he came to this earth, his glory was veiled so that the majesty of his outward form would not become an object of attraction. Because of his great love for us, he exchanged the throne of heaven for the manger, and the companionship of adoring angels for the animals in the stable. Unseen by human eyes, angels from heaven are drawn to the earth, and they surround the stable where Jesus lies. With amazement, the hosts of heaven witness what God had done to save this perishing world. Majesty in the middle of the common. Holiness in the filth of a stable. In one great gift, the gift of his own son, he has poured out the whole treasure of heaven. And he has revealed a love for sinners that defies all understanding.
Strange.
In Bethlehem, there is no royal guard stationed to protect the newborn king. None of the world's honored men are in attendance. And Jesus is cradled in a manger. And his parents, who are uneducated peasants, are his only earthly guardians. He has exchanged his beautiful robes for rags. He has exchanged his splendid golden throne for a dirty sheep pen. And the worshiping angels are replaced by kind and yet astonished shepherds. God has sent his son, his own son, to redeem mankind. And that son is sleeping in a box meant for feeding animals. He looks like a normal baby boy. His face, prunish and red. His cry, although healthy and strong, is still a helpless and piercing cry of a baby. And he is absolutely dependent upon Mary and Joseph for his well-being. Now, his earthly parents call him Jesus. But the angels know him by different names. The angels know him by Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace.
For two.
As the angels disappear and the light fades away and the shadows once more fall on the hills of Bethlehem, there is the brightest picture that was ever beheld by humans that still remains in the memory of the shepherds. And as soon as the angels disappear, the shepherds said to each other, "Let us go to Bethlehem and find this baby that the Lord has told us about." And they came hurriedly and found Mary, Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger.
They laid my pretty little Jesus down in the straw. They laid my pretty little Jesus down in the straw. Then
when we think of the Nativity, the birth of Christ, we often just think about that night in Bethlehem. But God's plan for our redemption was not an afterthought. And before he ever came as a baby, Jesus knew his path from the manger led to Calvary. The cross was drawn in the original blueprint. It was written in the script. The moment the forbidden fruit touched the lips of Eve, the shadow of the cross appeared in the horizon. Centuries before, the prophet Isaiah had been told the Messiah would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and would be led as a lamb to the slaughter. And Jesus knew these prophecies. As a matter of fact, it was he who gave them. And from the moment he was born, Jesus lived in the shadow of the cross. The anguish of Gethsemane, the humiliation in Golgotha, Jesus knew it all. And beforehand, he knew it all this. He knew all this beforehand, and yet he came. So what does this mean? It means that Jesus planned his own sacrifice. It means that Jesus intentionally planted the tree from which his cross would be carved. It means that he willingly placed the iron ore in the heart of the earth from which the nails would be cast. It means that he voluntarily placed his Judas in the womb of a woman. It means that Christ was the one who allowed the political actions to send Pilate to Jerusalem. And it also means that he did not have to do it. He did not have to come down and die for us or be born. But he did. And that just should show us the wondrous love that he has for all of us.
Angel in arms, an angry crowd,
By his life and his death, Christ had achieved more than the recovery from the ruin brought by sin. It was Satan's purpose to bring about the eternal separation between God and man, but Christ, in Christ, we become more closely united to God than if we had never fallen. To us in the common walks of life, heaven may be very, very near. Angels from the courts above will attend the steps of those who come and go at God's command. By gentle and patient ministry, they move upon the human spirit to bring us into a fellowship with Christ, which is even closer than they themselves can know. In the gift of Jesus, the whole treasury of heaven was poured out. Everything that could be done to achieve our salvation was done. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And thus, God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, willingly endured the cross, even though he despised the shame. And I don't know if you got that statement, but that statement that says, for the joy that was set before him. And that joy is us. That joy is you and me. How can we not respond to this love? It is a wondrous love. It is a love that is beyond all understanding. And I just pray that our response may be to love Jesus even more. As the year ends and the new year is just about 13 days away, I would like to encourage you, to challenge you, to place yourselves in the right relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us hold on to the promises provided for us so that we may be transformed into His likeness. Thank God that Jesus was born. I'd like to invite the congregation if we could just bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you for sending Jesus Christ. We want to thank you this morning for allowing us to know Jesus. I want to personally thank you for what you have done in my life. Jesus, thank you, for you planned this whole plan of salvation. You planned your birth even before the foundations of the world were laid. And Jesus, we want to thank you for the wonderful gift of love that you give us. Be with us throughout the rest of this Sabbath day. Be with us throughout the rest of this year. And as we plan for the new year, as we plan festivities for our families and friends, I pray that in our hearts Jesus may always be in the center. So that everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think may be to honor and glorify the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. So be with us now as we leave this sacred place, as we leave your home. But don't leave our hearts. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.